Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis on the bottom line Amar Papa. In the previous shiur, we had discussed the concept of Machlokes of Ikishir B'Keli, Ikishir B'Peh. When a carbon was brought, they had to accompany it with singing. And the Gemara discussed was the main part of singing, the essential part, the vocal singing or the playing of the instruments. Amra Papa, so Papa says, Ketanoi, that this actually is a machlokes tanoim, because we've learned in a braisa, the Tanya. Avdi kahanim hayu, who are the people that would play the instruments? They were the avodim kananim of kahanim. Divrei Meir. Rav Yosi Yomer, mishpachas beis habgorim, or mishpachas beis separia, these two families, umi Amim Hayu, they were from the city of Imamum. Shoyim Asim LaKahuna, they were considered Miuchasim, and Kohanim would marry women from these families. Chanina Ben Antignus Oyim Levim Hayu, it was Levim who would play the instruments. Says Rapapa, my Laba Hokimovki. So what is the basis of the machloks between these three Tanoim? The Mandom Avadim Hayu, the Mandom that says it was servants who played the instruments. Ksava holds Ikishir B'Peh, the main singing is the vocal singing, not the playing of the instruments. Therefore, the instruments could be played by Avodim Kananim. Mandama Levim Hayu Ksava Ikishir B'Keli. He holds that it had to be the main part of the shir was with the instrument, and therefore only Levim were allowed to play the instruments. Ask the Gemara of Tisbara, is this line of reasoning correct? If it is, Rav Yosi Maikasover, how will we explain Rav Yosi Shita? Ikasover Ikashir B'Peh, if he holds that the main singing is vocal, Afil Avodim Nami. So why does he say that it had to be Yisraelim Yuchasim? He could even have Avodim. If, on the other hand, Ikasover Ikashir B'Keli, that this is the main part of singing, so only Levim in, only Levim should be allowed to sing Yisraelim Lo, no one else. Ella, says the Gemara, the Kulam Ikashir B'Peh. Everybody will agree that the main Shira was accomplished with vocal singing. What is the Machloikis? And the Machloikis is the Masav HaHochav Maisa or Masav HaHochav Maisa. They're just disagreeing what actually happened. Who actually played the instrument? Ask the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina. A Braisa doesn't just tell us a story. A Braisa tells us something which is relevant to Halacha. The Braisa is not just telling us who actually sang, not to teach us a Halacha from it. Says the Gemara, the Nafkamina is Lamala Midurchen LeYuchsin or Lamaisa Kamiflgi. The Machlokes depends on when a person did play on the platform. Will we consider him? What will we consider him as far as Yichus is concerned to allow him to marry a Kohenes or a Kohen or to get Maisa? Mandam Avodim Hayu, the Mandam that holds that it was Avodim playing the instrument, Kesover Ein Malam Meduchen LeYuchsin V'Loy LeMaisa. The fact that somebody is on the platform playing an instrument will not cause us to consider him a Levi or even a Yisrael Miyuchas, and therefore and make an error of allowing them to get Maisa, allowing them to marry a Miyuchas, and therefore we could allow him to play the instrument. Mandam, the Mandam holds a Yisrael Hayu, so a Mal Meduchen LeYuchsin. If we see someone playing on the Duchen, we will elevate him and consider him a Miyuchas. And therefore, we have to make sure that only miyuchasim are allowed to play on the duchen, loy lemaisim. But we will not necessarily elevate him to give him maiser and consider him a levi. And therefore, we do not limit in allowing only levim to play instruments on the duchen. Omandom levim hayu savar mal meduchen ben liyuchsim ben lemaiser. If we see someone playing on the duchen, we will consider him a levi. And Levi Miyuchas, and therefore we had to be careful only to allow Miuchasim Leviim to play on the Duchen, not to come to any error in giving them Meiser or considering them a Miuchas. That's why Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos looks at the Gemara in a reverse fashion. He says the Machloikas starts with who exactly played. Once only Leviim were playing, so therefore they came to accept that anybody, expect that anybody who played was a Levi Miyuchas. Or if originally only Yisraelim played, they came to expect only Yisraelim to play. And because of that, Chazal made Takana. The Sfasemis points out, from this Gemara we see that the playing of the instruments did not take place right next to the Mizbeach, because the area right next to the Mizbeach is an area where Yisraelim and certainly Avodim are not allowed to enter. So it must be that the playing of the instruments took place a little further. In the previous Gemara, the Gemara had quoted a machloik between Rav Yosef Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding, does Shira, is Shira Doicha Shabbos for Yontif, or is it not Doicha Shabbos for Yontif? So Rav Yosef explained the Machloikas that everybody agrees that the Shira of the Simchas Beis Sha'eva is not Doicha Shabbos. The Machloikas is regarding the Shira of the Karban. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba, however, has a different interpretation of that Machloikas. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba Amar, Machloikas B'Shira Shel Sha'eva. The Machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda is only by Shir Shel Sha'eva. The Rabbi Yosef Sover, Rabbi Yosef holds, Simcha Yisera, Nami Doichas Shabbos. That even a Simcha Yisera can be Doichas Shabbos. So there's two ways the Rishonim explain it. Rashi explains that since we have a rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, therefore, even Shir Shel Sha'eva, which is playing an instrument, is only a Isser D'Rabbanon, is doicha and may be played Shabbos for Yontif. The Ritva has a different approach. The Ritva says, since, as we explained in the previous shiur, the reason why instruments were played by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was because of Simcha Yisera, explains the Ritva, the halacha is, we quoted the Gemara Masech, the Beya. The reason one may not play an instrument on Yontif is we're concerned that he may come to repair the instrument. But given that the entire reason that they're playing here is only because of Simcha Yisera, people will realize that if an instrument breaks, they will not repair it, because for Simcha Yisera, nobody's going to go repair instruments on Yontif. Rabbanon Savri, Simcha Yisera ain't a Doichas Shabbos. How do we explain the Rabbanon? Either they hold, as we explained in the previous year, that the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash is not applicable here, or they hold that Simcha Yisera itself is not enough of a reason to be Doichas Shabbos. Abba Shir Shal Karban, regarding a Shir on a Karban, everybody, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba's explanation, will hold Divar Hakol Avoidehi, everybody will hold it's an Avoida, and it's Doicha as a Shabbos. So we have the machloikas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yirmiyahu in two areas. Regarding Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Rabbi Yossi holds everybody agrees it's not doicha. Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds it's a machloikas. Regarding Shir Shel Karban, Rabbi Yossi holds it's a machloikas. Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds everybody agrees that it's doicha Shabbos. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Shir Shel Sha'eva, doicha es Shabbos. The Shir Sha'eva is doicha Shabbos, divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Yehuda. The Chamaimer, Af Yontif ain't a doicha, it's not. Tiyufta Rabbi Yossi. Here Rabbi Yossi is clearly refuted. Because we find that even regarding the Shir Shel Sha'eva, there is a machloikis. Where Rabbi Yossi said that regarding the Shir Shel Sha'eva, there is no machloikis. So, says the Gemara, Tiyufta, indeed, from this part Rabbi Yossi is refuted. Says the Gemara, Lema, the Gemara wants to say there's another refutation on Reb Yossi. Lame b'shir shel she'evu de pligi. Should we say that they're arguing there regarding shir shel she'eva? Avol b'shir shel karbon, regarding the karbon. The rehakel doichas Shabbos. Everybody will agree that it's doichas Shabbos. And lame to have it to Reb Yossi betarti. And now Reb Yossi will be refuted again. Because Reb Yossi hold that regarding shir shel karbon, there's a machloikis. And the way we'll understand this brisa, there's no machlokes by shear shel carbon. Rather, like Rabbi Yirmiyah said, everybody agrees that the shear shel carbon is doiches for Shabbos. Amloch Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says this is not necessarily a refutation. Pligi b'shear shel sheva. They're arguing about the shear shel sheva. V'hu adil carbon, and they're actually arguing about the carbon too. So why did the brisa only mention the case of shir shel sheva? For how the kamifli b'shir sheva le'achak koyched Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, to show us how Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that, and as the Aruch Lener explains, koyched that teira adif, to show us how makel Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is, that he is makel even that the shir shel sheva is doicha dafil sheva nami doicha, that even the shir shel sheva is doicha Shabbos for Yontif. But there's no proof regarding what will be their positions regarding shir shel carbon, and it could be that Rabbi Yosef is correct, and there is a machlokes by shir shel carbon. Derech HaNer asks if this is indeed pshat. The Gemara could have asked if they're arguing in both cases, so why didn't the brisa bring down both cases? But the Derech HaNer says the Gemara has a different question, so it doesn't ask that question. Ask the Gemara Vuktani. We learned in the brisa zeh chalil shebeis sheiva, that the flute played by the beis sheiva ain't a doich lois the Shabbos as a yontif. What is this brisa teaching us? Zehu, that it's the instrument played by the simchas beis sheiva that ain't a doich, that doesn't override Shabbos. Avul the carbon, by the shear of carbon, it will be doich Shabbos. Mani, now who is the tana of this brisa? In name Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, hamashir sheiva nami doich. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and we just finished explaining, holds that the shir shel sheva is doicha Shabbos for Yontif. Hama shir shel sheva nami doicha. Elalav, who is the tad of this brisa? The Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon are saying here that only shir shel sheva is not doicha Shabbos for Yontif. However, shir shel carbon is doicha Shabbos for Yontif. So even the second part of what Rabbi Yosef said, that there is a machloikis by shir shel carbon, is refuted, because from here we see that everybody agrees that the shir shel carbon is doicha Shabbos. Tiyufta Rabbi Yosef is indeed refuted. Says the Gemara, my time of the Man D'Omer is shir b'keli. What is the reasoning for the Man D'Omer that holds that the essential part of singing is keli? The ksiv. For Yoyim Echizkiyo, and the pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, lahalos ha'oilu l'mizbeach, to bring the oil to mizbeach, ve'ez hechel ha'oila, and when they began the service of doing the oila, hechel shir Hashem, they began singing, v'chatzoytus v'yedei kli David melch Yisrael, and through the instruments of David. So it says clearly that the singing was done with instruments. That's an essential part of the singing process. And what's the basis for the mandom that says that's the vocal singing which is essential? The ksiv, because there's a pasuk, another pasuk in Divrei Yomim, v'hi ka'achad l'mechatzrim l'mesharim l'shmir kol echad. There was unison amongst the trumpeters and the song people singing songs, producing music with one voice. So here it says singing. It doesn't speak about instruments. I asks Rashi, it says chatzoitris, it says trumpets. So Rashi answers that trumpets, chatzoitris, are not considered instruments, not considered clay shear. And therefore, even though the pasuk mentions chatzoitris, there's no indication that instruments are required. Tosfos is troubled, because Tosfos says that the pasuk, if we read the entire pasuk, the pasuk says, Kechad, l'mechatzrim, l'mesharim, l'shmiya kol echad, l'hala l'hoidus l'ashem, u'kaharim kol b'chatzroitzrois, u'b'metzaltayim, u'b'kli ashir, u'b'hala l'ashem, ki toiv kloy l'mechazdoi. So the pasuk clearly does speak about musical instruments. So Taisha says the proof is because the pasuk divides it into two separate groups. First, the pasuk speaks about shir b'peh, Lashmiya kol echod, lahalal, lahoides lashem, strictly speaking about vocal singing, and only afterwards does the pasuk start speaking about the kli shir. So we see that the kli shir are not an essential part of the avoid of shira. Ask the Gemara, vidach nami, According to the man, the Amid that holds that Ikish Shears repair, Haksiv Yom Chizkiyo, didn't we quote a pasuk that does seem to indicate that instruments are an essential part of the singing? Says the Gemara, Hachikom. This is the way to understand that pasuk. Hachal Shir Hashem Bepeh. They began singing vocally. Aidei Kli David Melch Yisrael. This that they brought the instruments will only lift Sume Kaila to make the singing sweeter. But that wasn't the main part of the singing. Vidach Nami, and the man the Amida holds Ikishir Bekeli Haksiv Vikam Achim Achatzim Mesharim, that the pasuk only speaks about vocal singing, not instrumental playing. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand that pasuk. Mesharim Dumi the Mechatzim. The pasuk does speak about trumpets, and the pasuk is saying Ma Mechatzim Bekeli, just like trumpets. Trumpeting is done with an instrument. Ach Mesharim, so to the singing should have been done Bekeli. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Mishlo Ra'a Simchas Beis Sheva. Whoever never had the opportunity to see the Simchas Beis Sheva, Lo Ra'a Simcha B'yomav. Never saw Simcha in his life. The Miri says this was a perfect Simcha. Ritva says there was no Simcha like this. However, the Rishonim do point out that the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra, Lo Hayu Yomim Tovim LiYisrael. There were no greater Yom Tov for Yisrael, Ketuba Av, or Kiyom Kippurim. So we see that they were the greatest days of Yom Tov. So the Ritva answers that here, the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra is referring to outside the Beis HaMikdash, and our Gemara is referring inside the Beis HaMikdash. And our Gemara is pointing out the great Simcha that took place by the Simcha Beis HaShoeva, and as Tosfos that we quoted yesterday brings down the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Shmisham Shoyavim Ruach HaKodesh. From there we had Ruach HaKodesh, and that was the great Simcha. And the Yerushalmi goes on to prove that Yoina, the Navi Yoina, famous from after Yoina, was an Oyla Regal, and was at the Simcha space of Shoeva, and that's where he got the Nevuah that he should go to Nineveh to give them Musar, they should do tshuva. And the Einish Shmuel asks, how do we know, how did the Yerushalmi know that that was the story with Yoina? So he answers that the Medrash says that when Yoina received this message, he ran to Chutzlartz. He ran to Tarshish, because Lefish Einash Shechina Shara B'Chutzlartz. The Shechina isn't in Chutzlartz, and therefore he won't anymore be subject to this Nevuah to go to Nineveh. He did not want to be a messenger to go tell Nineveh to do tshuva. Ask the Einish Shmuel, this that the Shechina doesn't rest in Chutzlaretz is only in Chutzlaretz. But Yoina went to the ocean. In the ocean there is Shechina. Furthermore, ask the Einish Shmuel, this rule that the Shechina doesn't rest on someone in Chutzlaretz is only if the person didn't say Nevuah first in Eretz Yisrael. But once somebody had Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, even when he goes to Chutz La'aretz, he can continue saying Nevuah. So what was Yoina's point in running away? Explains the Einish Shmuel. That's exactly what the Yerushalmi is teaching us. When is there a halacha that once someone is a Navi, he remains a Navi under all circumstances? That's when he's a Navi. Yoina wasn't a Navi. Yoina was in the Azor by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, everyone was exposed to Ruach HaKodesh. But that doesn't make Yoina into a Navi. Yoina was concerned, however, that he's about to become a Navi. And he's about to become a Navi to say a message to Nineveh, to do tshuva, a message that he didn't want to carry. So before becoming a Navi, even though he heard the message, but that was only a message of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he ran away not to be exposed and become a Navi. And the Yaris Devash, and also the Meshech Chachma, explain, we see the difference between Judaism and other religions in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a Simcha, with music playing, with singing and dancing and a large crowd of people. Others believe that the way one reaches levels in Ruchnius is by separating oneself, living totally isolated, not together with other people. Teaches us the Mishnah that you get Ruach, teaches us the Yerushalmi that Ruach HaKodesh is attained in the Azara, but it's Simchas Beis Sheva together with all of Klal Yisrael singing and dancing. That's how you could also, that's the way a Jew attains Ruach HaKodesh. And the Sfas Emes says that in our lives there are three concepts. There's Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Which if we were to translate them into English, we'd say the time, the place, and the person. Says the Sfas Emes. The Simchas Beis Sheva represents those three times. Those three elements. There was no greater place, no holier place than the Beis HaMikdash. And there was no greater time in the year than Yom Tov Sukkos after Klal Yisrael had Mechilas Avonos on Yom Kippur and they came to the Beis HaMikdash to be Oilu Regal on Sukkos. And a person in such a situation, in such a matzev, is on the greatest matzev. When bringing those three elements together, that's when you are able to attain Ruach HaKodesh. However, quotes the Mishnah Berurah, the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvodah, that even now, when unfortunately we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, says the Mishnah Berurah, Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa, Oisim L'Zeicha Simchas Beis Sheva, even now in Golus we make a Simchas Beis Sheva to be up and sing and dance and light candles in the shuls. All of this, even maybe today, in our own little way, in our own level, we could attain the Ruach HaKodesh that the Yerushalmi tells us was attained by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, B'yontzi the Rishon Shel Chag, on Matzah Yontif of the first day of Sukkot, Yordu Lezus Noshim, the Kahanim Leviim went down to Lezus Noshim, Umasak Nisham Tikkun Gadol, and they made a benefit, as we were learning the Gemara, they made a mechitza, separation, place for the women and a place for the men. There were golden candelabras, the abbas folim shalzabarashayim, with four golden bowls on top of them to contain oil. And the Mefarshim explained the point of four is we know that Torah, Menorah represents Torah R, and in Torah there are four ways of learning. Paradise, Pshat, Remes, Drush, Soid. The Abba Yoladim, Pirche Kohanim, four young Kohanim, Ubi Yadim, Kadim Shal, Meiv Esrim Lug, and they were holding pitchers that had 120 lug of oil. What was the reason for 120 lug of oil? So some Mefarshim say it represents Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rabban Shal Yisrael, that lived 120 years. Or, that Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shemayim for a total of 120 days. Another pshat that I saw is that by the time of Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them 120 years to do tshuva, and that was what 120 years that represents to tell us to do tshuva, or along the same lines, people are considered that they live 120 years, so do tshuva while you still can. They were poured into the bowls. From the worn out pants of the kahanim, from the avnet, from the belts, they would tear them or make wicks, and they would be used to light these candelabras. There were no chutzim shalayim, that wasn't illuminated by the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Mefarshim discussed, Tosfos already discussed it, why only the pants and belts were used for wicks and nothing else. Not the mitznefes, not the hat, nor the ksinus, the coat. So regarding the hat, the Kesef Mishnah already says that the material which the hat was made out of was very thin and was not really a material that was usable for wicks. Regarding the coat, the ksinus, so Mefarshim explained that the pants of the Kohanim and the belt that the Kohanim wore were worn even outside the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore we use them to make wicks for these menorahs that were lit outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Ksoinus was only worn in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore was used for the menorah that was lit in the Beis HaMikdash, not for the menorahs of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Ben Yehoyada and many other Mefarshim explain that the different Bigdei Kohuna represent kaparas avoinus for different averus, and the pants and the belt came to be mechaper on averus of immorality, as we learned in the Mishnah briefly, and we'll discuss more in the Gemara. Since there was a concern of so many men and women together by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, there shouldn't be a situation of immorality, they dafka used begodim that are mechaper on that aveira. Tosfos Masechet Shabbos asks that the halacha is that bigdei kahuna, even when they're no longer wearable, are subject to milah. So therefore Tosfos asks, how can they use these bigdei kahuna for wicks for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So Tosfos says that since it was l'kovid nisach hamayim, which is considered like a carbon, it's not considered mila. And as the Mishnah Lamelech explains Tosfos, it's not just because it's being used for nisach hamayim that it would be permitted to wear these, to use these clothing for wicks. It's a combination. We have Lei Bezdin Masna, that the Bezdin makes a condition that they should be allowed to use for these wicks, combined that it's also Letzorich carbon, that's why it's permissible. The Miri says that it's Letzorich Rabim, making these wicks Letzorich Rabim, and therefore it's not susceptible to Me'ila. Others say that which Bigdei Kohuna are susceptible to Me'ila? Bigdei Kohen Gadol. The wicks were made out of Bigdei Kohen Hedget. Others explain, the Machna explains, that as we said before, that they specifically used the pants and belt to make the wicks. Only the ksinus and the mitznefes are subject to meila, not the pants and the belt. That again would answer Tysus' question, why only those two begodim were used to make wicks. The Sfas Emma says that they were paid, they redeemed the bigdei kahuna of the kedusha prior to making them into wicks. Says the Mishnah, Chassidim v'Anshei Maisa hayim rag mifneim. Chassidim and Anshei Maisa would dance before them. So the Melech Shlomo says that it was only Chassidim and Anshei Maisa that were allowed to dance, because we didn't want they should come to being frivolous. So only people who knew what they're supposed to do, how to dance, danced. Who's Lefneim? There are a number of Pshatim. Some say in front of the Levim, others say in front of everyone, and others say in front of the menorah that we just discussed was lit. The Mefarshim explained what is dancing. Dancing is that a person starts on the floor and jumps up and then comes back down. A person has to realize that they're all situations in life. Sometimes he's on top and sometimes he's on bottom. But in all situations, he has to be an Oyved Hashem. He has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bavuka Shalar B'Yadayim, they held torches in their hands. And the Gra would explain what pshat that they held it in their hands, to say that a person in learning Torah and Avodas Hashem cannot just sit back and expect that from a Shemayim he'll become a Talmud Chacham, from a Shemayim he'll become a Yerushamayim. It's B'yadayim. They had to work to reach the level of Avukish or of Torah that's compared to Or. Varnu Lefneim, Divrei Shir V'Shizbachos, and they would sing different songs. Halvim, Velvim, Bikinoris, Ubinavolim, Ubimetzaltaim, Bukhatsoitris, Dalim, would play harps and cymbals and trumpets, Bikol Klish, Ubiklishir, all different types of instruments, Beloy Misper, an unbelievable amount of musical instruments. Achamesh Esrimalos, Hayordis, Mezus, Yisrael, Azus, Noshim, on 15 steps that went from And that's Yisrael Tesis Noshim. Kenega Chamesh Esra Shir Malz B'Tilim, which correspond to the 15 Shir Malz that we have in Tilim. Shal Leyem, Levim Oinu B'Klishir, that's what the Levim would stand with the instruments, for Oinu Shira and would say Shira. V'om Dei Shnei Kahanim B'Shar Elyon, two Kahanim stood by the upper gate, Shorid Me'ezus Yisrael Ezus Noshim, V'Shnei Chatzoytz B'Yideim, they would hold two Chatzoytzres, Kora Gever, when the crier called out. The Gemara Masechet Yuma taught us that there was Gvini, who was the crier, who would every morning at daybreak wake everybody up. And as Tosfos explains, they specifically waited to do the Nisach HaMayim after it was Amuna Shachar, after Alois Shachar. Otherwise, there would be an issue of Lina, as we discussed previously. They would blow a tkiya through a tkiya, Higila Mala Siris, when they would reach the 10th step, again they would blow a tkiya through a tkiya, Higila Zara, when they got to the Zara, and they continued to blow until they reached the gate that went out to the east side. The Rashi seems to say that they constantly blew the whole time. But many Mefarshim are troubled with that pshat. They say that the distance that they walked was 313 amma. It's difficult to say that they blew straight for such a long time. And rather, they stopped and started. Higil Shar Yotzim Mizrach, when they went to the gate leading out on the east side, Hofu Pneim and Mizrach Lamarev, they turned their faces from east to west, Vamru, Avaseni Shari Makmazer, our fathers who were here, Achreim al Hechel, their backs were to the Hechel, Ufneim Kedma, and the faces were to the east, Umishtachvim Kedm Lashemish, and they would serve the sun. Vanu Lakar Neinu, and our hearts are to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Mefarshim ask, how at such a time do they speak so disparagingly of their forefathers? So they say that, some say it's like we find at the Seder. But the Seder, the halacha is, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim says, Maschil Mignus Umasayim B'Shvach. And that's why we say, Metchila Oivda Avodah Zarah Hayah V'Seinu V'Ach Shekavon HaMokal Avodasai. Another pshat is that they felt that this was the time that they could ask for a kapara for their forefathers. And that's what they were doing. They were davening that their forefathers should have a kapara. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla were mispalo and they were mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And what these people were saying, we can't compare ourselves to the challenges that our forefathers had. Our forefathers had a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah that they had to fight, and were not always as successful as they would have liked to have been in fighting it. We, Baruch Hashem, don't have that Yetzirah. On the Lakai Neinu, we don't have to fight the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda says, what they would say is, Hayishon v'Oimrim, on the Lakai Neinu. And the Farshim say, that's why they stopped on the 10th step, because Yud Kei represents 10 and 5, so they stopped on the 10th step. Another pshat that Aruch Haner says, because the 10th Shir HaMalas says, Yivoshu v'yisoygu ocha kol soine tzion, that all the people who serve Avodah Zarah should go away, and we are Israel b'Shem Hashem, we believe wholeheartedly only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what they were saying, and that to represent that, that's why they stopped by the 10th step. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Mi shalei ra simchas beis ha-sho'eva, anyone who did not see the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lo Ra Simcha Miyamav, never saw a full-fledged Simcha. Mishla Ra Yushalayim B'Tfartai, whoever didn't see Yushalayim in its beauty, Lo Ra Krach Nechman Ma'olam, did not see a beautiful city in his life. Mishla Ra Beis HaMikdash B'Minyonai, whoever did not see the Beis HaMikdash as it stood completely built, Lo Ra Binyan Mefar Ma'olam, never really saw a beautiful city. Mahi, what does it mean by saying that the Beis HaMikdash was beautiful? Amar Baye Bitaima Rav Chizda Zabinyan Hordus. This was the Beis Hamikdash that was built by Hordus. But my binyan, what did he build it? Amar Rava Ba'avne Shai Shemamra, with stones of green and white marble. Ikud Amri Ba'avne Shai Shekuchla, with blue and green and white marble. Shai Shekuchla Mamra, green, blue, and white marble. Apik Shafa Va'ayu Shafa, one row of stones protruded and one was recessed. And with Keichad al Kabel Sida, in order to provide a space to hold the cement. And as the Mefarshim explained, he did not want that the cement, which were between the marble slabs, should be visible. So he had rows of marble recessed, which that's where the cement was, and therefore it was no longer visible that's where they had the cement. Says the Gemara, Sava l'mishim b'dahava, Hordus wanted to cover the entire Beis Hamikdash with gold plating. Amle Rabbanan Shafkis. Rabbanan said, don't do it. The Hachi Shapetway, this is nicer. The Meschazi Ka'advis of the Maya, it looks, the marble with the blue, looks like the waves of the sea. And as the Gra explains, the Rashi teaches us in Chumash, the reason why we wear Tcheles on the Tzitzis, because Tcheles Doimel Yam, for Yam Doimel Rekia, for Rekia Doimel Kisei HaKovid. When one wears Tcheles, he is reminded of the Kisei HaKovid. So too, the Chazal want that the Beis Hamikdash should remain with this blue color, that it should remain remind us of the Kisei HaKovid. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Mishlei Ra the Yulufluston Shel Alexander Shel Mitzrayim. Whoever did not see the Yulufluston, which was the big synagogue in Mitzrayim, like Rab Kvodin Shel Yisrael, never really saw the glory of Klal Yisrael. Amru, they said, Kamim Basilika Gedol Aisa. It looked like a large basilica. Stav Lefnim Stav, with rows of benches. Pamashai Bashishim Rubei, Ashishim Rubei, Kaflank Yerz Mitzrayim. Sometimes there were double the amount of people that left Mitzrayim. 2 times 600,000, 1,200,000 people were in that shul. There were 71 shears of gold, corresponding to the 71 members of the Sanhedrin. Each one of these chairs weighed no less than 210,000 gold kikers. There's a wooden platform in the middle. The Chazan HaKnesses Oymer Aleh, the Shamas of the shoe would stand on it, or Surgeon Biyada, and would have a flag in his hand. The Kivin Shigia Lanus Amen, when it came the time to say Amen, Halamena Pasuda, he would wave the flag, the Chola Oynam Amen, and everybody would respond Amen. The Lo Yoshim Uravim, they did not sit just mixed. Rather, the people, the goldsmiths set between themselves, the silversmiths set separately, blacksmiths set separately, coppersmiths set separately, weavers set separately. So when a poor person came in there, he would recognize who are the people that have the same profession as him if he needed a job. And he would sit in that area, and he would ask people if they needed somebody for a job. And that's how he would be able to get a job. So I saw the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says, "Kol umin sonu b'nei nosai." Usually people that are in the same profession don't get along so well. Here they were sitting in shul, and they were concerned, Chazal were concerned, the Rabban were concerned that they would talk. So they during davening. So what did they do? They made that all the people who are in the same profession should sit in the same place. These people didn't get along and didn't talk to each other. So there was no talking in shul. Amr Abaya, Rabbi says, V'chula Ketlin and Alexander Smogdim, they were all killed out by Alexander Smogdim. My time in shul, why were they so severely punished? Mishum the Avdei HaKra, because they violated what it says in the Torah, by Sisifin Loshim B'darcha Zayid, that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. And they did go live in Egypt. When Alexander came to Alexandria, he found him reading from the Torah, reading the pasuk Yisashem Goy Lechem Rochek. The pasuk in the Tachachet says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring a nation from far away. He said about himself, usually the trip from Rome till here took 10 days. But the wind blew. And I arrived in 5 days. It must be because there was a simon min shemaim, a sign min shemaim, that I should harm these people. He went and he killed them. And as the Mashal explains, just because they lived in Mitzrayim, they don't deserve such a tremendous punishment. Rather, he explains, the Yirmiyahu had made Klal Yisrael swear that they would follow his nevuah and follow his message and do what he said. And what he told them was not to go to Egypt. And they violated that shvuah and went to Egypt. And because of that, they got this terrible punishment. The Mefarshim discussed Taisus, Masechet Brachos, Taisus over here on the afternoon days of an Aleph ask. The halach is that when one answers amen, he has to hear the bracha he's making amen to. Here, as we said, the shul was so large and they didn't hear the amen. They didn't hear the bracha. So how could they say amen? So Taisus says that since they were not being yoitz to the bracha, this bracha was just being made on Kriyas HaTorah, and it was not a bracha that they were being yoitzah with, there is no obligation to hear the bracha before saying amen. And from here, indeed, the Paiskim point out, we see that Kriyas HaTorah is a chiv not on the yochid, but rather it's a chiv on the tzibur. Another teretz that's given is that when are you not allowed to say amen if you don't hear the bracha? Is if you don't know which bracha the amen is going on. But if you know which bracha the amen is going on, even though you didn't hear the bracha, you may say amen. Another teretz given is that you're allowed to say amen if many people are making a bracha, even if you didn't hear the bracha. And here there were many people making the bracha, just there was such a large crowd, that doesn't mean you heard the actual bracha being said. The Chidah points out, based on this Gemara, that we see that it's better to daven in one large minyan, even if it will involve not being able to hear the chazan, than to make many small minyan. Another question that the Mefarshim discuss here is, here we see that they were punished for living in Mitzrayim, yet we know that over the generations, many Jews did live in Mitzrayim. How could they live in Mitzrayim based on the pasuk of Lo Sifun Loshav Derech Zeoid? So one teretz given is that after Sancheriv was mevalbel kol ha'olam, turned over the whole world, so the people living in Mitzrayim are no longer the original Mitzrayim, and that's why one may live in Mitzrayim. Others say that this Isser was only when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, but not in all future generations, even though Al Gemara seems to prove differently, because this was long after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Another teretz is that only if one is leaving Eretz Yisrael may not go to Mitzrayim, but if he's living somewhere else, he may go to Mitzrayim. Another teretz is only when all of Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael is there an issa to live in Mitzrayim. Here, all of Klal Yisrael at that time were not in when people lived in Egypt, not all of Klal Yisrael were Mitzrayim. And the Ratva says that the only time it's also to live in Mitzrayim if his intention is to settle there permanently. But if his intention is not to be there permanently, there is no Isser. Rabbi Yoshev, I saw, quotes the Rambam, that when the Rambam would sign his name, he would say, Ani Moshe B'maimin, however, give a lav v'kol yoyim. That he said he was over on the lav of living in Mitzrayim every day. The reason he was over the lav, however, was because he was forced to. He was the physician of the royal court, and he could not leave Mitzrayim. There is another discussion in the Paiskim, based on this Gemara, on how a shul should be built. From here it seems that the bima of the shul has to be in the middle of the shul. However, the Kesem Mishnah says that many shuls in his days, the bima was towards the front rather than in the center. And he says that the requirement that the bima should be in the center is only in a large shul where there's a concern that if the bima is not in the center, people sitting in the rear might not be able to hear Kriyas HaTorah. However, in small shuls where you could hear, even if the beam is towards the front, it may be towards the front. However, The Chassam Sofer, very famous Chassam Sofer, says that placing the bima at the center of the shul is not just because of acoustic reasonings. He says that the bima corresponds to the mizbeach and has to be in the middle of the shul, just like the mizbeach was in the middle of the Beis Hamikdash. And he says the bima is compared to the mizbeach because we read about the kabbonis from the bima, and we also circle the bima with the dalin minim, like we circled the mizbeach, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. And the Chassam Sofer quotes, says, and that was the minig in Hungary in the time of the Chassam Sofer, that they did not allow someone to enter a shul which had the bima in the front, because that was a sign that was like a reformed temple. Reb Moshe in the Tshuva says that as long as the bima is not placed flush against the Oren, it satisfies the Chassam Sofer's requirement and that it should look like a mizbeach. And therefore he says that in a small shul where you could hear Kriyas HaTorah, even if the bima is not in the center, it's acceptable. Only in a large shul where you can't hear Kriyas HaTorah, if the bima is not in the center, must the bima be placed in the center. Furthermore, says Reb Moshe, in a shul that was built incorrectly with the bima in front, Reb Moshe says that the Eved, one should may enter the shul, unless we know that the shul was deliberately built that way for the purpose of being reformed, that the bima should not be in the middle. But if that wasn't the purpose of when it was built, one, according to Reb Moshe, should be allowed to enter such a shul.